Take me to a microphone.
We're on double secret probation, whatever that is.
From the WGN Tower.
Remember, you're all a big part of the show. We're on in 10 seconds, so get ready to have a good time. All right, here we go. This is exciting, isn't it?
Ponderous. Ponderous.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Now let us imagine that you're in the middle of your program.
You must identify your station.
You might say
WGN.
.FM.
Right here. Here.
Good afternoon, Peoria and Pelas Hills.
Here.
Breaking news. John Lennon's killer, Mark David Chapman, was denied parole last week for the 8th time.
Oh. So what?
He told the parole board, quote, "I am sorry for being such an idiot and choosing the wrong way for glory," unquote.
You know, just talk like a normal person, okay?
No, MDC, you're not an idiot. An idiot is someone going 95 on the expressway and weaving in and out.
Idiot.
An idiot is someone who steals your wallet.
Idiot.
An idiot is someone who fleeces old people.
Idiot.
You, Mark, are a psycho who thought the lyrics from a record were talking to you.
What are you, an idiot?
Freak. A developing story. A Missouri woman has been arrested after she posed with the body of a dead man and posted the pictures on Facebook. Hey, this woman has started a new challenge, the Kick the Bucket Challenge. I'm Gary Meyer. Those stories and more on 240 Minutes on the Super G. The Streamliner on the Gear Force, WGN.FM, Chicago.
Oh.
Hold me. I'm trending.
Thank you.
312-521-8600. That is the phone number and the text number. Jim Ramsey in for Tom Skilling this week.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, programming note. Tomorrow,
yeah.
The show will be taped earlier in the day, replayed at the same time, 3 to 7, so I can get to my A-frame in Saugatuck and avoid traffic. So what that all means is if you want to text or call, you won't know what we're talking about, but you can call in anyway and ask, I guess. Do that between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. tomorrow, Central Time.
Hmm.
And that's how that's going to roll tomorrow. And then the show, as I said, will start at 3 o'clock, as it usually does. And Labor Day off, back on Tuesday.
Such a deal.
You won't be able to be on tomorrow?
Well, I've got a whole lot of conflicts right in there. We've got a newscast that takes 2 hours, and we've got preparation for the newscast that takes better part of an hour. And let's see. What else do I do? I've got our web update stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just one of those periods where you come in and you hit the ground running. And, in fact, this is my first break, is my 3 to 3.30 period that I spend with you. And I give it to you instead of enjoying my
thank
lunch.
You.
Or,
would you want to do 2 to 2.30? I'm sorry.
Well,
1.30 to 2.
That
or 1 to 1.30. Jeez, why did I have to do this?
1.30 to 2, maybe.
All right.
It depends on where I am. What I'll do
there
is...
There goes the yakety sax.
Okay. Here's the deal. If I've got everything caught up, I'll come over here and I'll turn this on, and presuming that the right switches have been pulled at your outfit so that you can hear me, I'll listen and interrupt as need be, and we'll hope for the best there. But
don't worry about it. It's a thing I shifted, so it's not your fault.
Yeah,
and
there's not a lot of downtime on this shift, if you
all
know
right.
what I mean.
Yeah, no problem. Won't worry about it at all. If you can, you can.
Okay.
You heard that story about Joan Rivers, who appears to be near death after
I did hear that.
Undergoing throat surgery and then went into cardiac arrest. As I was told by a surgeon many years ago, there's no such thing as minor surgery. When you go under, there is always a risk.
Have you had surgery?
Yeah, several times.
Really?
Yeah.
I had it once. I was 11.
That's all?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That was appendix. Appendix.
Okay, but there's no such thing. They say minor surgery, but when they put you under and cut you open, usually everything goes right. But in this case, and they haven't said if this was cosmetic surgery, but on her vocal cords, I should get mine done today the way they sound in my headphones.
Plus, her voice is her trademark.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Right. Was that going bad? Now, there's no secret that she's had a lot of cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
And you're 81 years old. At some point, how good do you think you need to look?
I don't know.
Just let it happen.
Yeah.
You get addicted to it, they say.
Well.
The surgery?
That last one could be a Lulu. Yeah. Drudge is reporting that she's really bad off right now.
I hate to hear that. I liked her.
Yeah, I mean, she was groundbreaking in her day as far as female comedians and what she achieved.
Yeah.
But some people are going to go, well, she made fun of people, and that's her karma.
Well, you know, that's the stock and trade of a lot of comics.
Yeah.
Well, Don Rickles.
Most comics.
Most comics.
Right?
Most, yeah.
Don't
yeah.
you make fun of things?
That's
yeah.
what it is. But yeah, her right. her whole thing with that fashion police
oh, yeah.
and mm-hmm. really dressing down, no pun intended, these people on the red carpet. But that's fine, because those people never seem to know reality anyway.
Hey, she yeah. created that red carpet. Nobody was doing red carpet shows before she did it, even though yeah. she was mocking. She made that a viable part of television.
Yeah.
She doesn't get credit for that, but...
Gee, I never heard that.
Yeah.
You heard it now.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's something.
You're up to snuff now, sir. Hey, listen to this.
Yeah.
Somebody just sent me an email.
Yeah.
Alpine Valley Music Theater in
yeah.
East Troy is up for sale. $8.4 really? $4 million.
That's a little over my budget.
The 37,000-seat outdoor venue, which for decades has provided music enthusiasts with the latest in live band performances, is the second-largest amphitheater in the country.
Wow.
Concert promoter Live Nation Worldwide is currently leasing the 200-acre site.
Hmm.
Wow.
Well,
wonder
if you've got $8 million lying around, there well, it is, Alpine Valley.
Pretty, doesn't that sound kind of cheap?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Well, there's not a lot there.
200 acres.
I don't think I've ever
But it
been.
Really is just...
I mean, unless you can run concerts through there. They have a ski area, right?
Yeah, isn't that part
of it?
But
not as part of the concert.
No, but that's
right?
all of it, isn't it? 200 acres, that must include that, too. It's right in the back of the concert venue. That's where Stevie Ray Vaughan landed. Those hills in back of the concert venue.
Yeah. It never had paved parking lots, either. I mean, didn't you always just kind of pull into the grass and... I think
right.
of it all. I think
stones.
Of is a canopy and some chairs, but not a whole lot else in the way of infrastructure.
Maybe
yeah,
that's
it's like
of
Alpine Valley is like Poplar Creek
Poplar,
was,
yeah.
and that First Midwest Theater World Bank Theater Center. it's a pavilion with seats,
and then a lot of grass.
Yeah, and lawn seating.
Yeah.
Do they still do concerts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jimmy Buffett was just there.
You just don't hear
over the
promoted
weekend.
As much. Or maybe they're doing them and not advertising in Chicago as much. I don't know. I just don't hear about Alpine Valley.
There's something nostalgic about that. About
yeah, the, I've saw a lot of great shows
concerts,
there.
Yeah.
Introduced Ringo Starr up on stage there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you get to meet him?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very nice. And that's where Bruce Springsteen kicked me out of the front row.
Really?
That's where I saw Boston, and that blew my mind how good they were.
The Stones?
Yeah.
Stones Steel Wheels Tour 1989. That was a fantastic concert.
Hmm.
And Jackson Brown.
That's your famous story.
That's the one where and I'm not complaining about a ride to Alpine Valley. They provided us a limousine to go up there, which was good because whenever I drove up there, I got lost. You take County Line Road D to
County
C
D, right.
to Y,
yeah.
and then you're in the middle of a cornfield. And you go, is this heaven?
Waxing nostalgic with Gary Meyer. That's good. That's
so the guy picks us up, and we're about halfway there, and he pulls over to do something. And we all get out to stretch our legs, and I notice and I wore these, it's summer, I got light-colored pants on.
You always seem to have light-colored pants on in one of your stories.
During the summer, I go
only
to
when it rains.
Lighter-colored clothing.
But there's always
I'm
a
not,
problem
I'm
with
not
that.
Married to black.
But it's always a problem.
I'm not as
chocolate bars and calves.
I'm not George Lucas. I'm not married to black.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well.
Hoofa.
What? It's not bad. I just during the fall and winter months, I go darker.
But then you said that water hit you and your date one time and it was all
right.
see-through.
Right. Summer, again. The hot chocolate that blew up
right.
a couple weeks ago on my cream-colored pants.
Oh, yeah. The chocolate and the
I'm
cab.
I'm just pointing out a trend here.
And then I noticed there are these black stripes all over my pants, and I thought, what the heck is that? And he goes, well, he had a weird speech impediment. I clean the inside of the car, and I use shoe polish to highlight the
oh, no.
There was this kind of Naga hide framing of the seats. So I used shoe polish to highlight the trim. And I thought, wow, you did that when? Oh, about 2 hours before I picked you up, an hour. It wasn't dry yet. Anyway, so now we are going, and we get lost.
We got lost.
So we pulled in. The concert's about a half hour in. But as soon as he pulled in, he went, there it is, Alpine Valley, like he had known all the time. It was just he took us for a little cruise, scenic route.
I, of course, went to see Elton there, and I never had been there before. And so I got lost, as you're saying, leaving. So I just followed an Illinois car because I figured, he's got to go back to Chicago. So now I'm in McHenry, and I don't know where the heck McHenry is. Yeah. And I asked somebody, I'm going to Chicago. They're like, where? Like, they never even heard of it.
Yeah.
So I figured, this is an Illinois plate.
Yeah, it is. It is. I haven't been up there in years. It's still in the middle of nowhere. I don't think they've had much industry building up around there.
You're not helping the sale.
Well, now it's 6.5.
But these concert venues, these big ones, I'm sure they're having a hard time because how many people can sell 37,000 seats?
Can't.
Mm-hmm.
They say that it is these McCartney's, Who types, U2, Fleetwood Mac. They're the only ones that can really pack them in.
I'm not trying to transition into weather here, but I wonder how many concerts are canceled because the weather is simply too bad.
No, it's rain or shine.
Oh, is it?
The pavilion is covered, and those seats are under the pavilion. And then the lawn, you're up for grabs if you want to sit in the rain. And it was pouring the night Ringo played there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. You wore light pants, didn't you?
He could see through my pants. Yeah. I can see your junk.
It's an octopus's garden?
I'd like to be under the sea. Mr. Ramsey, that is quite the...
You are entering level 3 of discomfort.
Hey, you've made it almost a whole week without any discomfort. So now you got a foppy little laugh. So what? I want to hear that laugh on the Channel 9 News.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Quite an octopus.
I'll tell you.
That's a nice story. So how's your day been going, Jimmy?
So far it's been okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's
Until about 2 minutes ago.
Up until then. Yeah, well, that's interesting because I think about all kinds of outdoor venues, you know, like the drive-in movie theaters disappearing. There's only a few of those left anywhere. And I just wonder about these outdoor music venues, if they're going to, you know, hang around much longer or what the deal is, you know.
Yeah.
Well, if they do, they have to have several bands because one act can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you're a baby boomer band.
Oh, well, there is that.
Well, it's not our problem, is it?
No, it's not. Okay. Thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, and there was this other story that you kind of dabble in, these kinds of stories, Jimmy.
Yeah.
We're about to find out if our universe really is a hologram.
What?
What could be the most important scientific experiment of our lifetime is about to begin. The so-called holometer experiment at the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory aims to determine whether our perception of a three-dimensional universe is just an illusion. Do we actually live on a 2D plane as a holographic projection? There is well-established theory that states we are indeed living in a hologram.
I've heard that.
With a pixel size of about 10 trillion trillion times smaller than an atom.
Yes, projected by a little chip. Yeah.
How about that?
Somewhere in the universe, yeah.
We might all be in a snow globe right now, like in St. Elsewhere.
I don't know where these guys, you know, where they get these ideas, but yeah, I have.
Well, they're zeepsters. I mean, scientists like this, they're always tweaking, looking, and.
I know. There's a lot of weird kind of science going on out there.
So you've heard about this?
Oh yeah. I actually have heard about that. I don't know what to make of it, but it tells me a lot more about the scientists doing the research than it does about the research. But. Okay,
well, we don't really know. I mean, we can't comprehend beyond a certain point what the heck's going on here.
I've got a vision that a lot of these particle theorists sit around a big conference table somewhere and come up with the wackiest ideas they possibly can to explain things, and then try to look at the mathematics to see if it actually would work. But because something would work wouldn't necessarily prove that that's the way it happens, if you follow my drift.
Well, when you see the pictures from the Hubble...
Yeah.
And they're shooting these pictures from, trillions of miles away?
Mm-hmm.
And, wow, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. I've looked at a lot of those Hubble pictures, and they're stunning. But some of them, I think, were shot through filters to give certain color to things like the residue of exploding stars and things like that. I don't think they actually look quite that colorful.
Oh, so this is just for show? They goose them up a little bit? And
no, they don't goose them up.
They Photoshop them?
No.
Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, no,
Hubble
no.
Photoshop.
Of course not. But I think that that's actually to conduct certain types of research. You need to enhance certain things to look at it.
Right. Well, there is a lot going on. If you've ever been to the Adler Planetarium,
and
watch that sky show, and you just look at our solar system, because they do this thing where they take you to the edge of our solar system, and Earth is way the hell back there, and that's just our solar system.
Yeah.
And that makes you shudder a little bit.
Yeah.
We're just a speck in this whole thing.
Smaller than that, even.
Isn't half the stuff you're seeing has exploded billions of years ago, and you're just seeing the reflection of
years later.
Right?
Yeah,
fascinating stuff. I mean, it's what are you reading that you ran into this speculation?
It's off a Newswire, yahoo.com.
Oh, okay.
We're about to find out if our universe is really a hologram.
I think we could probably assume it isn't and go from there.
Well, Fermi's in our neighborhood here, so they're
they're
right next to us working on this stuff. This is where Tom goes for his tornado seminar.
Yeah. I don't say that the research is invalid completely. I mean, usually a discovery comes from exploring all sorts of wild-eyed possibilities. I have run into this one, and there is a point that it does make some kind of sense to answer a lot of questions that up to now haven't been answered. It just doesn't sound, it doesn't sound reasonable. I mean,
but we can only reason so much.
Well, you live in a three-dimensional universe, don't you? That's not to...
As far as I know, no, I'm not sure.
Well,
when I see that...
Well, trust me. I think you can assume that you are for purposes of practical considerations. But I think that probably the research is worth doing just to see what turns up.
Get that Hawkins guy on the phone.
Hawkins. Oh, yeah.
Hawkins. I'm sorry. David Hochberg.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
Stephen Hawking.
I get mixed up. And I challenge David and Stephen Hawking to the ice bucket.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Stephen has ALS.
Yeah,
and he's defied all odds because the lifespan is very short once you get it, and he's been trucking on for years.
And isn't he considered the brightest mind since Einstein and Newton? I mean, he's an extremely smart guy. I've read some of his books.
He would know about this hologram stuff.
Probably has some ideas on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Not metallic enough. Keep working on it, Bill.
It's a bunch of BS.
Yeah. No, I don't know. There's a lot of things out there that would be interesting to see. I think that probably that's one step away from saying we should find out whether or not all of reality is a dream within a dream of some sort, you know.
When is Ramsey going to do his Chicago thing?
Is what?
In about a minute or two. Steven.
I'm losing him.
He likes to do...
Down to 85th in the world.
Vocal impersonations. Where am I trending now?
Yeah, where are you? Yeah, everything went down the drain with me, didn't it?
Here's a text. Light color pants, Gary? Way to connect with the listener. Every day, I assume it's a guy. Anything I say, he'll say is unrelatable to the listener after I had the two-week vacation.
Most of us don't own light-colored pants. That's why this is kind of,
Even during the summer? Come on.
I'm not, unless you drive a milk truck or sell dilly
bars. I'm not talking about those pants. Like a cream or a...
A beige.
A beige.
Yeah, like a beige?
A linen.
A taupe.
A nice linen.
Yeah.
You don't have any of those?
No.
Of course, you couldn't wear them on Channel 9, because that color would, as they say, burn, right?
Well, the president is actually right on television now.
Light.
He's wearing a beige jacket.
Okay.
Yeah, what's he talking about? Does anybody know?
Special report. What are we under attack?
Talking about ISIS.
Oh, is he?
Is he talking about Joan Rivers? Why is there a special report?
I don't know.
Another thing that has become commonplace, where a special report used to be something.
Right.
If I put the audio up, and now?
Well, this may be something. I don't know.
We're gonna go and do something when the time is right.
I'm seeing it on our monitors here, too, so I don't know what's going on.
But he's wearing a nice cream-colored jacket.
That's the first time I've ever seen him wear a cream-colored jacket.
That's why I pointed it out.
Because he's got to wear it before Monday. After Monday, you got to put all that stuff away.
White shoes gone.
Everything goes away that's that light.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have any to put away. Don't worry about it.
No, I don't have any. I don't know that I've ever had white pants or light-colored pants. Or
what I don't want to do is speculate about Joan Rivers and the fact that she was having surgery on anything but her vocal cords. Can't assume that it's anything but that.
You
don't know if it was cosmetic. I know she's had a lot, but I'm not going to assume that. Now, questions.
What?
About Joan Rivers. Hey, I got this in the mail today. I want to thank Eric Bettigs of Schurerville. He sent me two boxes of incense, 49 cones each. It's a sampler of incense.
Wow.
And I can't burn it anymore here, but I will enjoy it at home. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
Man. So, all different flavors?
All different flavors. Seven different flavors. Seven times 749?
Yep.
Yep. Then it's seven of each. Cool. Each different flavor.
Like what? Do you know?
I just opened it before I came up here. I will report tomorrow on the different flavors. But, Eric, I appreciate that. And then two women that attended the broadcast on the 22nd floor sent me a whole box of candy, Twizzlers, M&M peanuts, all the stuff I like. I got to start giving some of this to Duffy because I'm doing that thing where I open the drawer and I take one of those Snickers bars out that Noel gave me. And I'm thinking, geez, how long before I'm busting out of my G-string?
You know, you'd be surprised how many people are actually listening to you in the Chicago area. I'm running into this now on the street that people are hearing.
You make it sound like, I don't know how they listen to you.
Well, I know that, you know, that early on there were a lot of doubts that some of us had that anybody at all would find you, but... You know, you're growing exponentially around here.
Thank you.
Yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, I'm very happy to see this growth.
I think it was last week. I heard three or four times one afternoon people stop me and say that they listen.
And a lot of texts now. What's up with the pipes, my man? I got a throat.
You do sound a little raspy.
Yeah, there's something there. I might have to go in for vocal cord surgery.
Oh, grow up.
Don't do that.
Hold my hand, boss.
Oh, grow up.
Now there's something going around. We got it around here, too.
Yeah, it's obvious that there's...
Mold count's been really high.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
That's probably what it is. Plus, we got some summer colds around here, too.
All right, well, that could be what it is. I apologize if it's unpleasant to listen to. But
not any more than usual.
I rarely stay home for illness. I came to work one day with pink eye.
And, did you?
Yeah, and that's very contagious. I was told to go right back home.
Raspy we do voice. It here all the time.
Raspy voice, way to relate to your listeners.
Yeah. Flavor relates to taste, not smell. Okay. Different aromas for the incense. Yes, thank you. All right, Jimmy,
yes,
I have sent you a script, and it's
a little
different than what we've been doing.
Yes, it is.
Uh-oh. So I thought...
I started crying after I read it the first time.
And it's based on a lot of the things you've said over the weeks.
Yeah, it's close to the sentiment that I had, but not quite.
All
but
right,
it's
well...
It's close.
I tried to get your feel in it, and let's do it and see how it sounds. This is the script for August 28th, 2014. Jim Ramsey, 3, 2, 1.
I'm not going to try and sell you Chicago today. Call the Chamber of Commerce on that one. Just for today, and let them whip you into a second city frenzy. No, I want to share some of my life thoughts with you, to give you some pointers on how to get through this crazy journey easier and with less hassle. First of all, lower your expectations. Nothing can trip you up faster than setting goals too high. Dial down your ambition early, and you'll find that achieving things is so easy. Don't hang out with alpha people. They'll only make you nervous and insecure. Befriend people like you who, when there is the least bit of resistance, pretty much give up. They say you should earn your age, so if you're 35, you should be making at least $35,000 a year. Phooey! How many 100-year-olds do you know who are making $100,000? Scale down, my friend. Get out of the fast lane. The cemetery is full of go-getters. Listen to me, I'm as happy as a clam at high tide, because I don't give a crap. Did you hear Joe Blow is making $250,000 a year and has a summer home in Wisconsin? Screw it. Yeah, that's just what I want, two friggin' mortgages just so I can light a bonfire on the beach up north when the bar is...
All right, little laughter there. Let's do a clean. Take two here.
Okay.
But
it's at the bar.
When the bar is lowered.
I've got to find it. Hold on. I've got to get out of the fast lane. Cemetery, go-getters, screw it.
Beach up north. When the bar.
Got, yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Yeah, that's just what I want. Two friggin' mortgages just so I can light a bonfire on the beach up north. When the bar is lowered, it is easier to jump over. Only those who play limbo find a lower bar difficult. Now get on that raggedy mule and ride it until it drops. Happiness is only found in fortune cookies and anesthesia.
There it is. That's Jimmy.
That's wow. Beautiful.
That's what I've learned from you, Jimmy.
Oh, is it? I kind of gave you the wrong impression.
No, that's the way you roll.
No.
Just kind of dial it down.
Yeah, but you just let life happen, you know? It's not...
And I just kind of...
I don't see anything wrong with setting goals. What's wrong is actually being anxious if you don't achieve them. That's the problem.
Yeah, and you figure if I don't, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, try again some other time.
Exactly.
Get up a little more nerve and do it better next time.
Yeah, if you feel like it. If you don't, don't.
Yeah, you know, it's funny.
Listen to Garrison Keillor.
Well, you know, the funny thing here to me is about this kind of thing is that people expect all these extras to give them happiness, but generally the people who get them start off happy. You know, it works the other way around.
Yeah. And that just gooses it up because they're already happy.
Yeah, they're already happy. So, but they're, you know, they're willing to take risks because if it doesn't work. Yeah. No risk, no reward.
I'll tell you what, I've learned a lot working with you.
Yeah, you have, you know.
And it came at just the right time when I got switched to this because I figure, hey, this is what it is. I'm going to enjoy it. I've seen it before. I'll see it again probably. No big.
You know, I personally have pondered this. I think your particular talent has played better on this venue than on the other one.
Well, that was the discussion I had several years ago when I heard that Spike might be retiring. I thought, well, maybe I can get the morning show. And that was going to be the only thing that was open. And then I met with then management, and they said, your kind of format that you have really enjoyed wouldn't fit on that morning show because it is one break after another. It's like being a traffic cop.
You know,
It can't flow.
Funny thing about that. Years ago, I had to do a morning show for a station. I was asked to, and I was told... This was on a fill-in basis. I said, look, I've never done this. He said, just smile a lot and give the time once in a while.
That's it.
Yeah.
A morning show moves like that for the most part. Even the afternoon show, you have a format.
Right.
But this, we get to stretch out a little bit. That's what I like.
Yeah. I think this works for you really well. I think the only problem with it is the difficulty in getting it. You do need special equipment.
Right.
And,
well, that's going to get better as the months go on. And it's not years away. I think it's months away when you're going to see more and more of this available in cars.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, like satellite radio, it's part of the game. You're not an odd over there thing. You're part of everything that people can listen to.
And there's more bibble in this.
Well, I don't know if that's good.
That's good.
He gets out. It's like silly putty. Now there it goes. It's like... It's like mercury.
Yeah.
It just spreads all over and it's dangerous.
You can't help wanting to play with it.
You kind of want to put your finger on it.
You don't want to touch it.
But you always want to play with it.
You got all these characters now. See, they were just disparate voices before, but now they're full-blown characters.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, I need a little weather before I say goodbye.
Well, you would, wouldn't you? And all right, let's do it.
Here's Jim with that weather.
Well, the news is not particularly good. We don't need rain around the area, but it looks like we're going to get some more of it, and maybe a lot more of it over the next 5 or 6 days. This is a very active weather pattern. Today, the clouds will be on the increase. We'll get some storms developing late. Low temperature tonight, about 67. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with some occasional storms. High temperature, 84. Saturday, mostly cloudy. Again, we can have some lingering storms. High temperature, a cooler 80. Sunday, we warm back to the mid-80s, and mostly the south suburbs will get storms. And I mean far south. We're talking Kankakee or even farther. Monday, mostly cloudy, scattered storms, a high of 86. And Tuesday, some storms possible, high of 86. Gary?
I don't consider Kankakee a southern suburb. I think when you get that far out, that's a whole new reset.
Well, yeah, I don't know exactly what to call them because they are... Under the
just
Chicago
go south
umbrella
of I-80.
Of influence.
South of I-80, that's
well,
what they do.
Well, it's farther south than that, I think.
Yeah, it is, but all right, but that doesn't mean that it's right, because I don't think it is.
Well, that's probably going to be our best day of the week, though, is Sunday.
Right.
So the rest of it, I don't know.
But it's not going to be all day rain.
No, it'll actually come in waves again, but some of these... See, what's happening is that same hot, humid air mass that we were in before that made it feel so sultry and sultry, muggy and just messy, is coming back over us. And that's going to destabilize everything. So it's not going to take much to get these thunderstorms to pop. And where they will, you could get some very brief but a very heavy downpour. So, you know, nothing looks severe, however.
Okay. All right. We'll try to get a hold of you tomorrow.
Okay. And I'm gonna try really hard to get on by, 1:30-ish.
Yeah. All right.
So maybe 1:40, but I'll try.
All right. 1:30. Again, it's not your puzzle, it's mine to figure out.
Yeah, why are you doing this to me?
Because I'm getting to my A-frame and saga talk.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to build a bonfire.
Well, if you got there early enough, maybe you could broadcast from there. I mean,
okay. Talk to you tomorrow, maybe, Jim.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Little Lennon there, because in the news today, Mark David Chapman, his assassin, came up for parole and was denied for the eighth time, and he made a statement that he was just an idiot for shooting John. And
he just discovered that now?
That's 34 years later, and he just comes up with, "I'm an idiot." No, you're more than an idiot. You're way beyond idiot stage.
I should have found another way to get notoriety, but I was just thinking about myself. That's what he said.
Well, enjoy the next 2 years. He's never going to get out, and if he does, I'd bet his life would be in jeopardy.
Oh.
Because there's got to be at least one person out there that was completely blown away by John Lennon being blown away by this guy. So he's probably safer in prison. Take the three squares and whatever you do there, make candles and stay there, you idiot. You're not an idiot. Like I said, you're a freak. You're a psycho. Idiot. That's too kind.
I wouldn't be surprised if Yoko was the first one to take a shot.
Well, there's a story today that I'm going to get to about a guy who was acquitted. I got to find it. I wasn't going to go to that right now. Aaron, if you can find that story about the guy whose sons were killed by the drunk driver. Because that's pretty interesting. John Lennon's imprisoned killer says he still gets letters about the pain he caused in his pursuit of notoriety nearly 34 years ago. "I'm sorry for causing that type of pain." Every 2 years he comes up for parole, which...
2016 is the next one.
I guess after you serve... What did he serve before he started to be eligible? Probably 25 years, right?
I think he got 20 to life.
No, because if 8 times 2 is 16, he's been in 34. So half. He probably served...
Yeah, he's been up for parole, would you say, 8 times?
Yeah, so probably 16? After 15 years.
Yeah. Because I know Yoko used to... I don't know if she still goes, but I know she used to always go to the parole hearings.
He was sentenced to 20 years to life.
Yeah.
Last week, he told the parole board members that he would understand if they denied him release based solely on the number of people he hurt. "Many, many people loved him. He was a great and talented man, and they are still hurting. I get letters, so that's a major factor. It's not a regular crime." Really? You're just figuring this out? He's 59.
Wow. That puts a lot of things in perspective, because when you think about it, he was this youth. They were calling him this young man, you know, and now he's...
Well, I just don't see him getting out. It's one of those things where it's too high profile, and he's better off. I'm telling you, this guy would be hunted down like a dog by somebody.
Yeah, there's a lot of Beatle fans that might want the notoriety of that notoriety. I was the guy who killed John Lennon's killer.
312-521-8600. I got a text that asked me to post the Jim Ramsey read today on my Facebook page. And I will do that. I didn't know that they weren't posting all of those. They're on all the podcasts. But we can post all of those on my Facebook page, right? Unless Steve Zuckerberg thinks that they're not worthy. I don't know. Yeah, Mark. Let's put them up there.
Mark Zuckerberg.
No, we can post a link to all of them on the Facebook page.
There's a link to all of them on the Facebook page. All right. But right on the put that one right on there so they can just they want to hear it again. No problem. All right, thank you for your text. They're often very good. They are. I really have enjoyed using these texts as part of the show day in and day out. "My daughter is going to One Direction tomorrow, courtesy of WGN TV, was wondering what the weather will be for the concert. Well, as Ramsey said, it's off and on rain for the next 4 or 5 days. They want to play the big arena. And now we return to Botho Thirkith, already in progress.
What's the weather tomorrow?
If you're going to Folger Field for the One Direction concert, be aware there could be some heavy downpours. It's going to be rain or shine, and that's why I stopped going to the outdoor thing. You have a 50% chance during the summer of getting rained on, and it's hard to enjoy a concert when it's pouring and you're sitting there and you're all wet. I remember going to see Pink Floyd at Soldier.
Oh, yeah?
And one of their songs has rain in the lyrics, and the great thing was as soon as they hit that lyric, it started to rain.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, but beyond that, no.
I saw Springsteen a couple years ago at Wrigley, the first show, I think, and it totally poured the last half. And, of course, he sang Who'll Stop the Rain, which didn't help. And it was a cool show, but it wasn't.
How do you enjoy it when you're sopping wet?
I mean, and it was a torrential downpour. It wasn't a little drizzle. I mean, it was sopping wet. Yeah, and it continued for a good an hour and a half.
And the whole nightmare of getting in and out of Soldier Field, enjoy. These guys couldn't play 10 nights at the Chicago Theater. Same amount of money, probably. Charge more for your ticket, if that's what you need to do. But they want to soak it up in a couple nights and move on.
And it's not going to be even though they have greatly improved the sound quality at these big arena shows, it's still not a concert. It's an event.
You can't get into it unless you have an incredible sound system and you're looking at the screens anyway.
Right.
Because you can't see them. So you might as well watch a video at home.
And even if you're in the first row, the stage is about 20 feet in the air. So, and the first row is about 50 feet away because they need room for all the cameras and the security. So even a front row seat at an outdoor show is about 50 feet away, and the stage is 20 feet high. So you are, even in the front row, looking at the screen.
I just, in my headphones, felt like I'm sounding like my parents. Damn Beatles. Is that how it comes out?
No.
But this is experience.
Point,
this is
yes.
Sharing what we've gone through so you can maybe make some adjustments. The outdoor thing very rarely has the payoff pitch.
No.
They just cram you in. I remember seeing the Stones at Soldier Field. The chairs are on the field. My seat is somewhere there. There's somebody sitting in it. I'm right in the middle of everything, trying to get a security guard.
Oh, really?
I thought, that's it. Last time, not going to go through this again. Because those seats, they're not anchored down, so they're moving all over the place. Now you can't get down the middle of the aisle.
No, it's a pain. And I remember the only Springsteen show that I have not seen in Chicago since 1980 is the one he did at Soldier Field. Because I said, there's no way that's going to be a good concert. And people said, it was a great concert for an outdoor show. I'm like, but that's not what I'm talking about. I want to see a good concert. And there's no way, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's Mick Jagger, Bruce Springsteen. Nobody can do
that
with 80,000 people. You can't. There's no music happening there.
That's a greed option that they can exercise because they can sell those tickets.
Yeah.
And that's all about the greed. If the tickets were $5 and they're just doing everybody a favor and saying, hey, let's all get in and party, it's only $5. But it's regular price. You're not getting anything special.
And I've seen some great shows at Wrigley, but at the same time, they still have been big outdoor shows. They still weren't as good as
you
the
find
ones.
Yourself.
I've seen it in an arena or at a theater.
Watching the screen.
Yeah.
We're so used to looking at screens. I know when I've gone to see TV shows, I'm sitting there. I went to see Letterman once. There he is. I'm looking at the monitor the whole time because that's how I look at Letterman or any other TV show.
You're not used to seeing
I'm not used to. I don't know how to push it in a little box. I got to look at the box. That's how I watch television.
Yeah.
So I'm there. Okay, there he is. But. Oh, it's so nice when it's framed like that.
Yeah.
It is funny, after you go to see, if you do this, you go see a show being taped, when you get home and watch a show, you have a few days where it's hard to push it back in to that square.
Because you remember all the peripheral.
You can see how small everything is, and that's all you think. Oh, there's a camera there, and there's somebody standing over there, and you still have all that in your head.
The cue card guy was right there.
As you watch it, yeah. And then I every now and then get a moment where I think, oh, the Beatles played right there.
Yeah.
They stood right there. And the stage and the whole setup is different than the Ed Sullivan show. I know that.
But it's still there.
But it looked really big when Ed Sullivan had it.
Yeah. That's not a small, it's not a big stage.
No.
At all. I went there one time with my puppet friend. Puppeteer friend.
Fill in the blank.
And we were sitting in the first or second row. We got there early, so we had really good seats. And then they asked us to take our glasses off because they were
reflecting.
Reflecting, yeah. And I'm like, but I got my cool glasses
on. Yeah, you know, this is part of my ensemble.
This is my look.
Do you know who I am? I have an ensemble.
I mean, they literally over the intercom, were like, because, you know, you're in there for, you know, 25 minutes before the show starts. There's a guy comes out and tells some jokes, and all of a sudden, about 15 minutes before the show, all of a sudden you hear this thing.
Would the two gentlemen in the second row that have the sunglasses on, please take those off, please.
Why were you wearing sunglasses?
Well,
inside?
They weren't, but they thought they were. They were different colored lenses.
Did the puppet have glasses on, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we both? Yeah.
He did. And his puppet?
No, he didn't bring the puppets. He didn't bring the puppets. We only had two tickets.
How old is this guy?
He's about 50.
And he's still doing this?
Five. Yeah.
Making a living, doing puppet shows.
Yeah. That's his job. In fact, I was disappointed because, you know, Chicago is having the International Puppet Festival soon.
When?
Like in the fall.
Where?
Downtown, all over the city.
What do you mean?
Yeah, there's an International Puppet Festival. Puppets from all over the world are coming to Chicago.
Is there one place where they're...
I'll have to look. There's a whole...
That might be a remote.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to see this.
But my friend isn't coming in. I said, how come you're not a part of this? And I don't know what
Do they
said.
Have puppet hookers and everything?
Everything. Puppet groupies.
Puppet drug dealers.
The whole thing.
Oh, find out about that. Oh, I didn't know that was coming.
I think this is the second annual. Yeah, Chicago for some reason.
About that.
Well, because, you know, Chicago does have a history of puppetry because of Kukla, Fran, and Ollie and all those shows that were...
Garfield Goose.
That were here. I think Kukla, Fran, and Ollie, didn't they start here?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I know that there's been big puppet exhibits at the Art Institute. So Chicago does
Why isn't this guy coming?
I don't know. I was like, how come you're not a part
of this? This is his Woodstock, Bowl.
I don't know if he might come, but I mean, he's not performing. I'm like, how come you're not performing? This is...
Oh, God, I'd have him on the air in a heartbeat.
Well, I'll have to, I keep telling him all the time whenever we talk about him, so hopefully he's going to come to Chicago.
How does he go to a bank to get a loan, and when they ask him what he does for a living... I'm a puppeteer. Does the conversation end right there?
Well, he is, even on, because I didn't even know what this was until I got to know him, because I would get this mail from him, and his name is Wayne Martin, and it would say, DBA, the Wayne Martin Puppets, and I'm like, DBA, and I'm like, what's DBA? And he goes, doing business as.
That's his corporation.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so I never knew what DBA was.
Got an offshore account.
No. I mean, I don't know how much he's been doing of late, but...
Did you know of this puppet thing in
there's
Chicago,
an international
Leslie?
Puppet festival coming to Chicago.
Really?
You didn't know either?
No.
Oh, I got to be in the middle of that somehow. I want to see that up close.
I think it's at venues all around the city. It's going to be supposed to be a big deal. I think it's sometime in the fall, probably September, October.
Is that when they're bringing the giant ones here from France?
Oh, I don't know if that's part of that.
That's what I'm waiting. That's the only puppet I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, the three-story tall puppet.
Yeah, that's cool. That'll be cool.
But this.
So you might see a lot of marionettes and ventriloquist dummies.
Imagine.
And fingers and... Sorry.
When they're all leaving at the airport, what kind of security shakedown they're going to get?
All
their luggage is talking to you as it's going on to the floor.
All right, open the orifice of the dummy up. Want to make sure you're not carrying anything.
And they all have their boas on. And
ooh. Well, that's
Dunham.
Something.
Dunham. Is he going to be there? No doubt. He's like the king, Jeff Dunham.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, no, I don't think it is. Like, it's not going to be like a high profile. No, this is going to be more
just
kind of like your hardcore, your marionettes, you know, your fingers, your sarai, you know, you're not your big mainstream people. These are the people that are doing it.
These are the grassroots puppeteers.
They're everyday puppeteers.
The ones who are scaring children at birthday parties across the nation.
And corporate events.
Scratching it out at the local church center every weekend.
Well, that's where he used to, like the first time I saw him play here, he played like at the how do you say it, Madison?
Matteson
Mall. And then, of course, when the...
Wait, was he hired or was he just like there shopping?
No, of course he was hired.
Next to the piano player in the mall.
He did a whole weekend. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a big... In fact, I just about a couple weeks ago, he asked me to record some of his introductions, like to his different scenes, you know, to his different little...
Boy, imagine these two when they get together.
And now, Wayne Martin Puppet.
Whoa, as Lincoln would say.
And you should. And I mean, when we get together to talk, I mean, usually we go by their house in Boston because they have a lot of room.
So nobody can hear any screaming.
Well, you should see.
Do you include the puppet in the conversation, or does he sit in another room?
I should bring my Mortimer one time because he's never seen my Mortimer.
Yeah, I'm sure he hasn't.
That's cool.
Yeah. You want to see my Mortimer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to.
But you should see the space he has because he's got like 150 puppets that he's made, and so he's got them all
hanging.
Well, some hanging, but then in boxes. You know, he stores them.
Whoa.
Because he has to pull them out for different shows, whether he's got an Easter show, or Christmas show, back to school show. You know, it's a whole thing. And you should, I mean, it really is amazing. Well, he actually, he's made a couple of Elton puppets, you know. But when we go there, when my wife and I go there, I mean, we are.
He has to say my wife and I because people people will get some notion.
Well, no, the part of the story is
by wife, he means putting Mortimer in a dress.
Yeah.
Because then his wife and my wife, they have to hang out because we are just mainlining on Elton. Like, okay, now.
By hang out, you mean go to dinner, you two ladies, and we'll just hang back and do
sometimes,
our business.
Sometimes they do. Like, sometimes they'll just go out and shop, and then we'll be and just say, okay, now what's been going on?
What's going on? Should I put the Visqueen in the dining room this time or in the kitchen?
And then all of a sudden we turn around and they're back. It's like, oh, what, 2 hours? What are we supposed to do in 2 hours?
At least you could hear the car pulling up where you can kind of get resettled.
Because he has one of the biggest...
Hey, I know this is free form, but if you're going to start that...
Let me finish the sentence. He has one of the biggest video collections of Elton stuff in the world. I mean,
Poor Elton John.
So,
you know,
every pot
has
a lid.
So he'll come out, so all of a sudden, you know, Wayne will come and say, so do you want to watch the 1973 show from the Hollywood Bowl? God, of course.
First drink this. I'm feeling sleepy.
I mean, so he's got everything.
His roofy nail polish is glowing red now.
And so now, and I was a little jealous before, because he made Elton's kids a couple of puppets, marionettes, you know, for their room when they were born. So he, you know,
with little cameras in their eyeballs.
Exactly.
So these elaborate puppets, you know, and he sent them, you know. And so when we went there the last time last summer, he said, Elton wrote me a note.
Cease and desist?
Personal note to thank me for these puppets.
Gee, who else has received a personal note?
Yeah, so now I was like, oh man. So that's when I decided it's time for me to write my little note.
Do you have your wives call when they're leaving the restaurant? Is that the code?
That's the code. All right. So I have not told him yet that I got my letter. Because I want him to, when he comes over, I want him to see it, like framed by the...
God.
I'm
creeping out right now.
When we were talking about how many friends you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this answers a lot of questions. Nobody's my friend. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Even he hasn't, challenged me to the ice bucket.
I'm sure there's some other challenge he will put you through. There's going to be a large puppet convention.
International Puppet Festival.
In January here in Chicago. And you say they've been here before?
I thought there was, but I guess this is the first annual. I know there has been some big puppet kind of international shows, but apparently this is the first festival.
I think there's a big ventriloquist convention that happens.
Maybe that was it.
Down south.
Oh, down south?
Yeah. Or is that a museum? I don't know what it is, but all the vents get together and do what they do.
Hey,
I'd like to see that.
This is going
to
be at the Field Museum, the Shakespeare Festival, Second City. This is going to be
I'm in. I got to see some of this.
Major venues around the city. Although in the winter, that's going to be tough.
Might be mild.
Yeah.
What, these puppets are going to get cold? What do they care? I think you come to this city if you have some kind of convention or gathering or whatever, because it's got to be cheaper in the hotels to come in January than it is in June.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because people think, why would I want to go there in January? And hotels get hit. It's got to be slow right after Christmas anyway.
And these puppeteers have to get probably two rooms, right? One for them, one for their puppets. So it's a lot of expense.
You're always waking up with wood. That's the slogan. Wake up with wood here at the Marriott, and it's only half price of what we usually charge. On Tuesday, around 4 o'clock, Dan Fedor will be here. He is that tech guy, and he's bringing his Verizon friend again this time. And that Verizon friend will be having a phone to give away to one of you. I don't know if that's proper grammar, the way we'll be having a phone to... I'll be having a, this whole Ukraine situation is seeping.
Well, we're all on pins and needles.
Here we are.
We'll be having a phone to give away for you, the listener.
Some FM transmitters. That's that plug that you put into your smartphone and into your cigarette lighter input, and then you can pull up this show over any FM signal in your car, on your car speakers, and some Gearforce-branded fly grips. This is a little device you attach to the back of your phone. It makes it easier to hold when you're talking.
And they're branded.
So it says right here.
Really?
Gearforce branded fly grip.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Now, I was challenged, as you know, if you were listening the other day, by my former high school principal. She wasn't my principal, but my former high school.
The principal of your former high school.
Better still. Better still. And so today I was out at Bettenhausen Fiat.
Oh.
And John Doolin, who runs that fine organization there with Mike Bettenhausen, he said, hey, how about we go right over to the school and talk to the principal, see what that's all about. School's about 2 minutes from the dealership, so we went over there, and I met this Dr. Nolan, very nice woman. She's the principal now for the last 4 or 5 years, so we got some kind of understanding on this ice bucket challenge. You're going to do it during one of their Titan games in October.
Oh, my goodness. Like a basketball or football game?
Football.
Football.
Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah. And I asked her about donating a David Novotny sculpture of myself for their Hall of Recognition. She said, sure, you get it made, I'll get it put up.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
So that all got settled today.
But is she not? But are you going to be in the official, that official
yeah.
hallway?
Yeah, the okay. official hallway. Not an unofficial.
Well, I don't know if she's going to put that somewhere by the
bathroom. Cafeteria loading dock.
That's what I mean, yeah.
No, I think it's going to be displayed prominently.
But, I mean, will your regular, legitimate picture
I'm sure it'll be next to the metal sculpture.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so you're going to have even more now.
So I'll see if David's on board for that. I'm sure he'll put something together.
And, by the way, that's for ALS, just that, so that doesn't get lost in all this.
What's that?
That bucket challenge is for ALS.
Huh? Oh, all that. Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's just so it doesn't get lost in all of your wall of fames.
Yeah, right. It got something going there, too. Fine. So it's this small world situation. When I meet her, she goes, okay, you dated a girl who lived next door to where my parents still live. So I met you when I was about 4 years old.
No.
Yeah. True story. And it's how small the world seems
so
to
be. So she's from the area.
Oh, yeah. But, again, this girl I dated for 4 or 5 years lived next door to her when she was a little kid.
Wow.
And as you get older, a lot of that stuff's going to start popping where, I remember so you when you know, came over and are doing that thing where I changed your diapers and now these people are adults.
So who would have thought that this 4-year-old girl, someday you'd have to suck up to her to get your picture in the high school.
I think I was very nice to her when I would see her riding her plastic bike on the sidewalk.
With those little things coming out of the handlebars, those little plastic.
Streamers.
Yeah, right.
Yes. The other situation like that, Stefan Holt, who is a Channel 5 anchor here, Lester Holt's son.
Uh-huh.
When I lived in the Hancock, Lester and his wife lived in the Hancock. And they would be pushing this stroller with this little kid in it.
And it was him.
It's him.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you were saying that you would always see Amy Landecker, who's an actress now in a lot of
John
shows.
John would bring her to the studio. She was all of about, I don't know, 11 years old, 10 or 11. And my most vivid memory of her is she would write on all the walls in pencil all over the place in the hallway.
And now she's a major actress?
Yes.
She went out with Larry David for a while?
She had that off-the-beaten-path creative streak by drawing all over the walls in pencil. Well, which was nice. That was in pencil. It was probably easier to rub off.
I do notice the more stories that you tell, either on the air or off the air, a lot of them start with, you used to date a girl.
Okay. All right. Okay. Is that disturbing to you that
I actually dated?
No,
it's great.
What's the guy to do? You're new in town.
It's fantastic.
I just got out of the service and looking, you know, for some companionship.
But that has happened quite a bit where you've said that, you know, this is my aunt, you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are the odds of this?
It's pretty funny.
I mean, her neighbor.
Her parents are still living at that house.
And it was a friend of her
parents. 70s.
The friend of her parents is who you dated.
Yes. Right.
And she
friend,
was
the woman, the girl I dated lived next door with her mother.
Oh, okay, lived next door.
Right next door.
Okay.
And we would see them all the time, and now she's the principal.
Oh, man.
Oh, we have guests because Bob, the taxi driver, he laid down the gauntlet and said the other day, you need more guests. I thought, okay. So then Craig and Creef came to me and said, hey, would you like to have some Irish singers? And I said, yeah.
Why not?
They're guests, right?
Okay, Bob.
And I
this
make,
one's for you.
If I want to do anything in this lifetime, it's make Bob happy.
Yeah.
And they're appearing locally. They just got off the plane from Ireland. So I know about as much as you do.
They just got off the plane.
I think they did. Come on in.
Oh, they look like musicians.
Hey. How you doing?
Rob, nice to meet you.
Hey, Rob. Just drop. Craig, set him up by a microphone.
We're on the air right now.
Yeah, we're on the air.
How's it going?
How you doing?
Yeah. Although you can't.
Great, amazing.
So we're going to talk about where these guys are from, Ireland, and where they're going to be appearing. I thought, why do I have to have something set up weeks in advance and know everything about it? Let's just ad lib all this once in a while, right?
Shoot from the hip.
Get
why
close
not?
To the mic there.
Come on. So you guys just got in from Ireland.
Well, we arrived. When did we arrive?
Three days ago, I think. Two or three days ago.
And not your first time in the States?
Well, first time playing gigs and playing shows. It's my first time. I've been
to
San Francisco on holiday.
Okay, and give us some background. You guys are part of a group, or it's just the two of you? What?
Rob is from a band.
I'm from Cold Comfort.
Cold Comfort?
Yeah.
All right. And get right on the microphone there, Rob.
And I'm from the Hot Sprockets.
Hot Sprockets?
Yeah.
So you guys are playing at the Elbow Room.
Yep.
Tonight and tomorrow night.
Is on what street?
What's the street?
Lincoln and George.
Lincoln and George.
George, yeah.
They used to do mornings here back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, okay. What kind of music you guys do? What's your story?
Well, Cold Comfort is started off kind of folky, and then it's kind of folk rock, and it's just growing and growing through different genres. Whatever comes out, whatever I write, we just do, you know?
And you have recordings out?
Yeah, we've just finished our debut album about a couple of months ago in Dublin. It's called Tainted Winds. So we're releasing it on Monday in, what's it called?
Kaiser Tiger.
So that's it. We're releasing it on the 1st of September in America. It's available on iTunes.
Is this your first?
First album, yeah.
Okay, and Hot Sprockets is?
Hot Sprockets, we're on our second LP, and we just released it in Ireland 2 months ago. And we got it to number 10 in the charts and stuff in Ireland, so we're pretty happy with that. And it's called Brother Nature. We have a copy for you here as well.
Thank you.
We have a copy for you.
I assume that things are the same as they were 40 years ago when the Beatles said, the place we have to conquer is America because that's the biggest place you can play. Is that still the attitude as an artist?
There's definitely like more big industry over here for basically everything. So
more opportunity. You can come into the States and you can play. You don't have to leave the States. You can just tour the States and be successful, you know?
How long is your visa?
A year.
Oh, you got a whole year to go around and play.
Exactly.
You got a whole year.
And how does an Elbow Room, now, that used to be a restaurant because I used to go there semi-often a number of years ago. Is it just a music venue now and a bar? I think it is.
Yeah.
And so they're always having people in. And how would they know of your groups? How do you find out about you guys?
I played there last year. I did a solo gig. The Atlantic Sound, who got us over for this gig, got the two of us over looking after us very well, I have to say. They got us over for a solo gig over in Elbow Room last year, so I played there. And then there was discussion of coming back over with the bands, and they just made it happen.
And who's this gentleman that's next to you that I haven't met yet?
So my name is Kevin Egan. I'm here in Chicago about 6 years.
And I work for, I set up a company called Hop the Pond. And what we did was we teamed up with two guys, Dermot Walsh and James Sheehan as well, and set up Atlantic Sound. And what Atlantic Sound is, it's out there to identify the top up-and-coming bands and bands that are already established in Ireland and the UK, and give them a platform to succeed here in America, and give them a chance to come over and line up tours and really let them give it a good go over here. And these guys are only here just over a day now, and you'll hear now shortly their sound is incredible. Tonight's gig is already packed out. Promises to be absolutely brilliant. We still want more people to come along, though, so if you're listening in, do come along tonight and tomorrow night. And,
it's packed out. It's packed out. I like
packed
that.
Out. Packed out.
It's not sold out. It's packed out.
No, it's packed out.
We can pack, we can pack in right a few now. More, too.
To the rafters. To the rafters.
I wish I had an accent.
Oh.
You do?
I really do. When the Beatles came over, I thought, that's the way I want to talk.
Yeah.
If I could have an accent, people would listen to me more.
Do you think any of us can put on Irish accents?
Yeah, I think so. Here we go.
Let's hear it.
It's all.
Well, I was there, of course. I was there a few years ago.
You sound like Willie the groundskeeper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's how we learn our accents from cartoons.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where were you? In Scotland?
Oh, no. Oh, that's Scotland, is it? No, he was in Dublin, though.
Okay, right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you enjoy yourself?
Pretty city there. What all the James Joyce places.
Oh, yeah. It's a tour.
The Dubliner.
The Ulysses tour. Yeah, there you go. You have it down.
Before you guys came over here into Chicago specifically, what was your thought of what Chicago is? What do you think about Chicago when you hear it over an island? What do you hear about Chicago?
Yeah, I didn't really actually think. I just knew it was a big city. I didn't think it was this big. And, I just thought it was going to be kind of smaller, but it's actually massive. So it kind of blew my mind, even the airport and stuff. I was like, whoa.
We got two airports, yeah.
Yeah. Two airports.
That's how big we are. But was it pleasant things that you had heard about the city overall?
Yeah, it was great. Like, everybody I've met has just been really nice and kind of more kind of just sort of relaxed and kind of positive, but like good positive vibes.
The women are great as well.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Hey. Again, with that accent, you're going to get some doors open.
Yeah. And the blues as well. The blues that before I came over here, it's just I heard so much about Chicago through the blues, through the music. I listened to jazz. And this is about my fourth or fifth time over here now. So I just shouldn't even wear
pants. Why bother? Don't even bother to wear pants.
I'm not wearing any pants.
Don't bother. Yeah, it's just going to get in the way.
Bibble seems to be happy about that. Ireland has given us some really great groups. You've got Thin Lizzy. And U2. And tell me some others that I'm missing along the way. Are they've been very strong in giving us some great music.
Horslips are another great Irish
Horslips.
Horslips?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just, jeez, how many?
Van Morrison as well.
Van Morrison.
Rory Gallagher.
Yeah.
All the guys. Yeah. A lot of people we listen to.
Were the Pogues from Ireland?
Pogues are from Ireland.
Yeah. Well, two or three of them are actually English.
Oh, yeah.
Sean, the lead singer, wasn't he?
He was born in Limerick, I think.
So that whole thing with Britain is all settled now? You guys are getting along?
Man, we're too close to each other to be at each other's necks, you know?
Yeah. But there was a time, you're too young to know this, but man, that was like Iraq and Afghanistan. It was nuts over there. You were there then?
Yeah,
but there were still, when I was just there a few years ago, and there's still neighborhoods there, right, with the different flags?
It's basically you got six counties up the north, and it's like, it's tiny. You can go across the north in like, what, 2 hours, 3 hours from east to west? Yeah. So.
Well, all of Europe is like three states in the United States.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Connected. That's all of Europe. It's tiny.
Scotland now is deciding whether they want to break from the UK or not.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what's happening at the moment.
It's a big deal because they don't know whether...
Independence.
Yeah.
That's right.
So you guys are going to perform.
We are.
And you're going to perform together or separately? What are you going to do?
Sopra's going to play one of their songs.
I'll play one of a Sprocket song,
Okay.
called Comfort Chim.
And where's the music coming from?
The guitar.
That guitar?
From that guitar.
From that guitar.
And the throat.
That he's holding right now.
Now.
All right, he's from Hot Sprockets, Elbow Room. Both of you guys are performing at the Elbow Room.
We are indeed.
In the next two nights.
Two nights, yeah.
So tonight, the way it works is the Hot Sprockets are going to open up, and then Cold Comfort are going to be the main act tonight, and then tomorrow night, Cold Comfort will open up for the Hot Sprockets.
Right.
So this one is off our first album. It's called Sleep Shake. It's kind of an old
Sleep Shake
song. It goes like this. Now, and take
Sprockets. Little Dylan-y there, right? Some Dylan. Is that a little Dylan feel there, too? You a Bob Dylan fan?
Yeah. Big Bob Dylan fan. And Van Morrison as well, of course.
All right. And we're going to have some...
Cold Comfort.
Cold Comfort coming up.
This song is Aces Falling.
Change it all. You're not the entrepreneur of mistakes, and that's for sure. You're grown in this field, and this field's been sown before. But you're glutton for some more. All around me are aces falling down, crownless kings and queens. Traipsing right at ground. All right. Remember New Year's Eve when your foot was on the gas. Cut up the days, old exile clans the past. You were different then, only by minutes, days, and nights. If there's a hole in your stride, your heart consumes your pride. Remember when you're lonely, you better. Friends online, the fear will be halved if you let your shadow shine. If you're running from love, oh, it will not let you down. If you feel your mind go, take a breath, you'll feel yourself count down. All around me are aces falling down. Crownless kings and queens, traipsing right at ground. It's all right. Oh, if you're slowly fading, love has left your bones. The day is just a phase, and the shadow is your own. Just remember now, nothing's changed at all.
Thank you very much. Wow. Cold Comfort and Hot Sprockets tomorrow.
Did you ever think that you can find a rhyme for entrepreneur?
But he did, for sure.
There you go.
You'll hear more rhymes tomorrow night at the Elbow Room. Lincoln and George, they'll be there tomorrow night and Saturday night. And tonight and tomorrow night at the Elbow Room, Lincoln and George. And you said tonight is full out, or what did you call it?
Packed out, but we still want more people to join us.
Packed up.
The guys are releasing their new albums on Monday at Kaiser Tiger. It's a Goose Island launch on Monday, which promises to be absolutely epic. So that's until 7.
5 until 7 on Monday.
So join us, yeah.
I wonder if it's going to be a drinking crowd tonight and tomorrow. Ireland?
No.
I don't want to stereotype, but what's that?
There might be a little bit of drinking. Maybe,
a little pint?
Pretty sure we're drunk right now.
We're not.
They're on Ireland time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
good luck with
everything. Thanks for having us, guys. Yeah, yeah.
Really nice meeting you.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely epic. It's going to be epic.
Entrepreneur, for sure.
For sure. Entrepreneur.
For sure.
For sure.
We say for sure.
For sure. Enjoy the city, too.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, guys.
See you again down the line, hopefully.
Yeah.
Thanks.
They look like rock stars. You know, they got
They got to have the look.
Skinny jeans.
Yeah.
You know. Look at Leslie all hot and bothered.
They were in her seat. You had a rock star in your seat.
James McAvoy wannabe kind of. What do they call that?
Statuesque?
No, they're not statuesque. Well, they're just, okay, they're adorable. Dying. And they sing.
How about it?
They're epic.
Epic. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks.
Don't you wish you
had a
thanks?
Don't you wish you had an accent?
Thanks.
Yeah.
I mean,
that kind of accent.
Oh.
German, all those harsh ones. No.
No. It's that one.
That's the one you want. Anything in that UK system.
No, as soon as they walk in.
You can make people love you just by saying thanks.
Or Australian. Yeah. That's a good one.
They're playing they're playing on Monday.
On Monday?
On Monday.
I think we're drunk now. You just stay drunk. That's awesome.
I wanted the Sprockets guy to go, if you could have done the whole John Lennon thing, and now it's all this.
Right.
He did sound like Lennon a little.
I said it and it was wrong. Now it's all this.
Now it's all this.
And, hey, where can people find their music? People are texting me. Why don't you post that on my Facebook page where people can pick up? It's on my Twitter page. I'm Twittering like a mother right now.
You're Twittering like
I'm
crazy.
I'm trending. I'm Twittering.
You're also going to be posting video of that performance at some point.
Somebody was doing that.
Tomorrow, two Spanish singers.
Are these guys cute, this text says?
Yes.
Eric Childress will be around 5 o'clock to review some movies. One of them is that Frank movie, which stars Michael Fassbender, and he is wearing a big papier-mâché head in the whole movie. It looks pretty interesting. That guy is a great actor, too.
He's going to be wearing this whole thing.
For the whole movie.
Yeah.
And he's
like this big
star
sex symbol, and yet his face is going to be covered by this really silly.
No, I hope it's good.
You see how big the head is?
It's huge.
It's huge. It's got like a
looks like that Deadmau5 guy's head, as far as the size, not the same look.
But it's got a goofy cartoon face.
Yeah.
It's not like it's like a mask. It's a goofy face.
So he'll tell us the premise of that. And November Man, Love is Strange, or some of the other movies he'll be reviewing around 5 o'clock. I mentioned this story a few minutes ago. A Texas court has acquitted a man who may have fatally shot a drunk driver that killed his two sons. 11-year-old Caleb and 12-year-old David had been helping their father, David Sr., push a broken-down car up a rural road when the kids were struck by Jose Banda 2 years ago. Banda's BAC was twice the legal limit. Prosecutors said that Barajas immediately went back home and returned with a gun, shooting Banda's dead. Barajas' defense team could not name another suspect for the killing, and it seems plausible he could have shot Banda out of revenge, but there was no evidence tying Barajas to the murder. No witnesses were able to identify Barajas as Banda's killer, and no gunpowder residue was found on Barajas' hands. The murder weapon was also never obtained. An empty holster was found in Barajas' home, but the size of the bullet holes did not match a gun that would have fit in the holster. Investigators searched Barajas' home for evidence of him retrieving a gun and found nothing. Many local residents sympathized with Barajas and even said they would have killed Banda should they have had a gun and just watched their sons get run down. It took the jury just 3 hours to declare the grieving father not guilty. Wow. Interesting.
Well, they're really, I mean, by what you were reading off there, there's not even circumstantial evidence.
They tried to pin him with this. They couldn't even do that. Now, where's the sympathy here with the jury?
Yeah. Oh.
Drunk driver kills these two kids. Yeah. I'm sure they're not listening real hard for some evidence that can convict this guy who could have gotten prison for life.
But, I mean, you have to hand it to him. I mean, you're not giving anybody a break on murder, but he certainly seemed to have covered his tracks if he did it, especially with the gunpowder and the gun. And
that sounds like a CSI episode if there ever was.
So it certainly wasn't, he wasn't doing it haphazard.
Why do you have to drink and drive? Why? There's no need.
And could you, I mean, here you are, and you see your two kids get killed right in front of you?
Well, if in fact that's what sent him into the rage, which, again, if you're a parent or even not a parent, you can see how this would send you off.
Yeah, you see two kids, I mean, who are doing something, you know, innocuous or helping. They're pushing a car. It's not like they're doing something stupid.
Or even if they were.
No.
The drunk driver is the worst of the situation. Police are scratching their heads trying to work out who donated a human skull to a thrift store in Austin. Detective Derek Israel said that foul play is not suspected and that he just wants to know how the adult skull came to be left at the Goodwill store. The staff discovered the skull while sifting through donations.
Well, let's see. There's an old pot. An Afghan?
Why do you throw the skull in with the bag of clothes? Why not just throw it out? But that part was odd enough, and then I kept reading. Listen to this. This is at least the fourth skull to be donated to the international nonprofit this summer.
Uh-oh.
Three were donated to a Goodwill store in Bellevue, Washington. So is this like a challenge, some kind of
this
ice bucket challenge?
Skull challenge. I hope it's not like some weird way to get rid of evidence.
Well, again, is that the way to get rid of it? Why not just bury it somewhere?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true.
This is now found.
Right.
How does that help?
Yeah, they can somehow use that if there's... Yeah, that's odd. Well, remember the whole story with the Goodman Theater? Your buddy...
I held that skull.
Bob Falls?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Del Close skull. There is some question whether that really is...
Seriously?
...the actor's real skull.
Bob Falls came to the studio, and I held Del Close's head and his skull. And I had met Del over the years, so I thought it was creepy.
Right.
But they said that you put those heads in, and some kind of, they put worms in there, and it eats all of the flesh off clean.
Oh.
That's how they get it that clean.
Ooh.
That's what they claim Del wanted.
Yeah, a few years ago, for whatever reason, the Tribune did a story on, is this really his skull? And it seemed like Bob Falls didn't want to comment. So I don't know. There was some question to the validity of it, but it's a great story, even if it isn't.
And didn't they put the skull then
as
a prop at Second City?
Yeah.
Or at the Goodman?
At the Goodman.
It's at the Goodman's prop department.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, he lives on in theater, which he always enjoyed.
Even if it isn't his, it's certainly a cool idea that he does live on. In fact, you know, the Improv Olympics, which is kind of an offshoot of Second City, they're opening up a new whole complex, and I believe they're going to be naming one of the spaces there the Del Close Theater, because he had such an impact on improv and stuff in Chicago.
Yeah, he was huge in that.
Was he a nice guy when you met him?
Yeah, very nice. He was in the movie The Untouchables, wasn't he? He was a politician, I believe.
Yeah, he's a big guy, beard.
Maybe you've seen him.
Yeah. He's been in
did a lot of bit parts of movies as...
Especially the movies that shot here in Chicago.
He did his thing in Chicago.
Yeah.
Right. If there was a movie being shot, he was usually doing some part.
But he was a mentor to many of the guys like Belushi and all those guys that came out of Second City.
The last stop outdoor shooting range at Bullets and Burgers. I'm thinking of this name for this place, Bullets, Burgers, and Beyond in Arizona. Is open for business again days after a deadly accident.
Man.
That 9-year-old girl with the Uzi that accidentally killed an instructor. The owner says this was the first accident in the range's 14-year history. In that time, we've probably had 100,000 people shoot 5 million rounds of ammunition. And of those, 1,000 to 2,000 of them were children. We've never given out a Band-Aid. No one's ever even had a scratch. The owner says he is aware of the fierce debate now on gun issues, but he describes detractors, and this is interesting, as, quote, the ones that are sitting downstairs in their mom's basement with their fuzzy slippers and bathrobe and dirty underwear because they just hate everything so much. Wow.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Even some fellow gun range owners are critical, however, saying they would never have allowed a 9-year-old to handle a weapon that powerful. The girl was from New Jersey, but here's the owner's name of this shooting range, Genghis Cohen. Oh. He says many customers who want to fire automatic weapons are tourists from overseas. They see guns as a big part of American culture, and they want to experience American culture.
Great.
Now he's going to install a tethering system to stop machine guns from rising up as they fire, like the Uzi did.
Did you see any of the video?
Yeah, I saw it. And they have it. I'm sure they have him being killed, yeah. But it's not posted. They have it up until that moment where they have the Uzi set on the single shot, and she's firing, and then dialed it up, and that was the end of that.
Well, there's a moment I saw on the news yesterday. Now, I don't know if this was the shot or not, but there was a moment where if she takes the shot straight ahead, and then the gun moves to the left toward him. And I'm wondering if that's when...
Oh, there's video, because they're videotaping the whole thing.
And he was a soldier.
Yeah, he was a veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan, and still in the Army Reserve.
Yeah. So, I don't know anything about guns. Could he have held, knowing that there's a recoil, and she's a 9-year-old girl, you know, who's not used to shooting a gun, there's going to be some physical thing where this gun could move around... I'm wondering, isn't there a way that he could have held the gun?
Well, at the risk of sounding like I'm in my mother's basement with dirty underwear.
With fuzzy slippers on.
Why does a 9-year-old have to fire an Uzi at all?
Yeah. I mean, where are her parents?
Can't you just, like a Colt 45, a Smith & Wesson?
How about a Super Soaker?
Start with a Super Soaker and move up.
Yeah.
But not to an Uzi.
Why, yeah, why did he go right to that?
Why does she need to fire an Uzi? I mean, a 9-year-old needs that kind of thrill?
Why do you have to? Why is she firing a gun?
Well...
At 9.
That's our culture.
Oh, I mean, that is
kind of an odd outing. The parents coming from New Jersey. Here's what we're going to do, honey.
We're going to go to
Arizona. Go down to Bed Bath Bullets and Beyond and Burgers, and you're going to start shooting cans or whatever with an Uzi. How does that sound?
Fun.
Yes.
Well, there's not much to do in Arizona, is there?
Let's see. You got Scottsdale,
Phoenix there. I've been there. There's not that much there.
Flagstaff.
There's not that much there, but there's got to be a lot more than that.
Okay, I hear this gun thing is, as Leslie has said, she's done it, is very euphoric. I watched that movie the other night on cable. I'd seen it before, but it is Academy Award winning movie, American Beauty.
Oh,
with
Kevin Spacey. Fantastic movie.
And there's a scene where Annette Bening is taken to a gun range by her boyfriend,
Peter Gallagher,
and she was having an orgasm as she was firing this gun. Right. And that has a whole gun theme in it, too. But I remember that movie being great when I first saw it. But when you watch it again, that thing is a masterpiece.
I remember the first time I saw it, it was so different at that time than any movie that you'd seen in such a long time. Just the perspective where
the
it was coming from. Everything.
Cinematography.
Yeah,
everything
was just like, wow, where did this... It seemed like it dropped out of... And I remember when that thing came out, they were very worried about that movie.
Why?
Because they didn't know if people would get it. Because it was so... I interviewed Sam Mendes, who was the director, and they were very worried about how the general public, even though it had Kevin Spacey in it, you know, and some names, they were like, this movie just might be so out
a little off
for the mainstream people to get. And my goodness, you couldn't help but.
That thing was aces.
Yeah. And he's so good in that.
Yeah. Did he get nominated?
Oh, he won for that.
He won for that. Okay. Yeah. And the movie won, right?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I think it won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Dave Novotny, master sculptor on
Hey, Pierre, I wanted to call and give you a little insight on that story with that little girl that actually shot that instructor.
Uh-huh.
In my younger days, I was a competition shooter, and what the instructor did is he did one thing wrong, and there's a 180-degree rule when the instructors are training you, and he was standing on the wrong side, and then when that thing recoiled, it jumped, and it hit him because he was in the wrong position. Now, that little girl, too, what the news isn't telling you, that she was a competition shooter. She was being trained for competition.
Okay, and do you start with an Uzi?
No, she wasn't starting with an Uzi. This little girl has been trained for all kinds of weapons.
Okay, but apparently she was not familiar with the Uzi's power.
No, you're right. She probably never tried one. And who's to say that when she first tried it, she didn't try it in semi-auto and then full auto? Because when you're trained to shoot, if you have that option, they always train you to shoot semi, and then if they have a fully auto, they'll actually train you how to use a fully auto. So, but the number one thing is that the trainer was not standing in the position that he was supposed to be standing.
Why would a trainer make that slip up?
Well, who knows? I mean, I wasn't there, and you know, nobody was there to really say why that happened. But he just was not in the right position. Any gun trainer, any competition trainer will always tell you there's a 180-degree rule, and the trainer should always stay within that parameter, so there is no accident.
So basically, you should have been standing behind her.
Exactly. And another thing is that. There are kids that learn how to shoot when they're 7, 8 years old, that they learn how to shoot because they want to get into a competition. It's like anything else, Gary. If you want to be an artist or you want to be a painter or anything, you know, just these people just happen to be into guns.
And
I was trained when I was younger to use a lot of guns, 30-06s, 30-30s, you know, Weatherbys, you know, big double barrels. I mean, just all different types of guns.
And when you were in competition, did you shoot at those paper targets? What do you shoot at in competition?
Well, it depends. It depends on what stage of competition you were in. Some were paper targets, some were moving targets, and it was timed. And, you know, some of the competitions with different types of calibers, handguns, rifles. It just, however you want to take it. I mean, you could take it to wherever you want. I mean, you could take it as high as you want. To the highest level that they have for shooting, where you can shoot at targets at 1,000 yards. I mean, it's just they have competitions for everything. But, again, that accident was a tragic accident, but it happened because of the instructor error.
Mm-hmm. Well, that won't be an error he'll make again. I mean, you pay with your life.
No.
It's weird that this guy he's an Army Ranger and spent time in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he knows weapons, obviously, left and right. And now you're handing this gun, and you've seen the video, I'm sure, of this girl. They show her shooting up until that moment.
Right.
And
right.
She's a small kid.
Right. Right.
And the gun's half the size of her.
When I was younger, I mean, I was in things where people were in competition for bow and arrow. You should have seen some of these kids. I mean, they were just little kids, bow and arrow.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. That'd be competition for everything. So, unfortunately, like I said, he was standing on the wrong side. He shouldn't have been standing there, and it was just an unfortunate accident. And,
yeah, well, Bobby Schivel said you should start with a super soaker.
Right.
See how that feels, and then go to a ping pong gun or something like that, a potato gun.
A Nerf.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
A dart gun or whatever, and work your way from there. Hey, I don't know if you heard earlier, I was out at my former high school today, and they're fully receiving any piece that you would make of me. They'll put it in their hallway.
Yeah, what we'll do, Gary, after I'm not busy, I'll get a picture, a couple shots of you, and we'll do a face portrait out of steel.
Right. Great.
And then we'll get something made up and stuff and maybe put it on a maple wood plaque or something or do something like that. And
okay.
Now that I've got an engraving buddy of mine, he can actually do some engraving for me and stuff, and we can probably get that to work. Also, I left you a message earlier about the podcast.
Yeah, I mentioned that to the producers and Aaron and everybody who worked the podcast. You said that they're very low in volume.
Yeah, I would probably raise the volume because you can always lower the volume. You can never raise the volume. You can only go as high as your headphones. And I've got an expensive set of headphones that, you know, are Bose. And that's how I listen through the podcast and stuff at the end of the day and stuff. And I got it all the way up and I can hardly hear it.
All right, I did mention to them, and then they started telling me something that I couldn't figure out what they were saying. Either I'm an idiot, somebody's an idiot, or...
All right, well...
I mentioned it to them, and please monitor that again and tell me if it's okay in the next couple days.
I will. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, that piece I need is October 17th, I think we're shooting for. And now that I know you know what shooting for means.
Yeah, we'll have to squeeze that in somewhere. But yeah, I just wanted to also let you know on that shooting and stuff that, you know, you only hear certain things on the TV and stuff, but you really got to listen to the whole story of what's going on.
Yeah, well, again, I would go, oh, 9-year-old Uzi. I don't think so, but that's me. Thanks, Dave.
You bet. Thanks.
Don't forget Taste of Melrose Park this weekend. Dave is going to have a booth there. It's all weekend in Melrose over by there, and his website is customsteelart.com.
I think it's by 25th and Lake Street in Melrose.
Dipped. Get it dipped.
Boy, I'm a little afraid to go to Dave's shop now by myself, knowing
just
that
knock.
He's quite the... well, it's always difficult because you have to just sort of pound on this metal door by his shop, and... So I hope he's expecting me the next time.
All right, the text to come in, yeah. Knock loudly. Yeah. You soft pretzel. While it is a tragedy that the shooting instructor was killed, to dismiss it as that's our culture now is small-minded and typical of the media. How many people have been killed, injured, skiing, ziplining, horseback riding, etc.? Sometimes accidents happen, even during recreation. Maybe we should outlaw all fun for kids. Someone could get hurt.
That's fun.
Now
like
you're
said, if you
now
tried
you're
it,
equating,
it
yeah, but not
is.
For a 9-year-old. I'm shooting for kids.
Shooting an Uzi with zip lining and horseback riding.
That would be.
I didn't
cool.
say. I wasn't
that's
the one
like
that said that's our
shooting at the Olympics.
I didn't say. I'm not the one that said that's our culture. That's what this guy who owns the gun range
right.
said, for people who come over here from other countries and want to go to his place.
How
that's
old,
what he said.
How old were you when you first shot a gun?
Probably about 12.
Really.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then
it's
I
first
guess...
time I drove a car too.
Oh well, I forgot.
Well,
your background.
You were born on a farm, right?
We just spent our summers there.
Man, so I guess 9 years old isn't that young then? If she's shooting at 12.
Again,
but
I don't care if I'm a soft pretzel.
No,
I'd
hello,
be...
no, Hello Kitty with this little girl.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got a story about
where's
Hello
your Barbie?
Kitty.
Yeah, where's your Barbie right. doll? Where's your Easy Bake?
What
oven?
About it?
Hello Kitty is not a kitty.
What do you mean?
Despite all the whiskers and the cat ears and all that, the creator of the iconic creature calls her a cheerful and happy little girl with a heart of gold. Brand owner Sanrio also points out that Hello Kitty is never depicted on all fours.
Yeah.
So Hello Kitty is not a kitty, it's a girl.
What, going through menopause? Is that why she's got mustache?
And by menopause, that's spelled...
a pink moustache, as Jim Ramsey would say.
P-A-W-S, menopause.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, you're marketing.
Wow.
You go. 312-521-8600.
Hello Kitty, for God's sake.
Yeah, that's a Japanese product, right?
It's that anime stuff.
They are doing stuff over there that is a lot different than the way we do stuff. They've got those... sex dolls that are $6,000, and they're very happy with rolling those out, and they marry pillows. They're goofy. I mean, after we dropped the big ones on them, everything went kind of crazy, and I don't blame them. You drop a few A-bombs on somebody, it wakes you up.
You live for today.
Yeah.
You call cats girls. You do whatever
right.
you
I'd
want.
Start thinking differently, too.
But it's been out for how long? Hello Kitty's been around for at least...
decades.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden she comes out and says it's not a cat? I mean, why?
And what's the difference?
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are we... What, so we think it's a cat? It's not a cat?
Wow, that's kind of, I mean, now it's starting to get kind of existential.
That's right.